Hi everyone, my name is Anna, and today I'll be telling you about Pocket, an elastic cloud storage system for efficient data sharing and serverless analytics. And this is joint work between Stanford and IBM Research. Serverless computing enables users to simultaneously launch thousands of short-lived tasks with high elasticity and fine-grained resource billing. And while the first applications to take advantage of serverless computing have been IoT and web-driven microservices, we're increasingly starting to see application frameworks that leverage serverless computing for interactive analytics. These frameworks enable users to submit jobs to the cloud and exploit massive parallelism with a large number of serverless tasks to get a result in near real time. But the challenge with analytics workloads is that they often involve multiple stages of execution, and we need to pass intermediate data between these stages. So if we want to run analytics on serverless computing platforms, these tasks need an efficient way of communicating intermediate data. And we're going to refer more broadly to this data as ephemeral, which simply means short-lived. We're talking about data that typically only needs to live for the duration of the job itself. Now, in traditional analytics, if you think of a Spark deployment, for example, tasks are going to write and buffer their ephemeral data on local storage. And this is managed by long-running framework agents that run on each cluster node. And this allows tasks in the next stage to directly fetch this data over the network. But in serverless analytics, any of these tasks can terminate at any time. And when a task exits, we no longer have access to its local storage. So direct communication for exchanging this kind of ephemeral data is difficult by communicating directly between tasks. The natural approach for sharing data in a serverless computing context is to use a common remote data store. So for example, the mappers can write their ephemeral data to local storage, and then even as tasks complete, tasks in the next stage, the reducers, still have access to this data. And indeed, serverless computing frameworks such as PyRen are using existing remote storage systems such as S3 and Redis to do this kind of data shuffling. But in order to understand what actual requirements we have for this distributed data store, we build on our analysis from our recent ATC paper where we look at three different kinds of applications for serverless analytics. One is a video analytics application that does object recognition, a MapReduce-style sort job, and a distributed compilation job that's essentially doing make-j1000 and leveraging the parallelism of serverless tasks in the cloud. We find that we need high performance for these applications for a wide range of object sizes. The object sizes range from hundreds of bytes to over hundreds of megabytes, so both low latency and high throughput are important. We also care about cost efficiency, and optimizing for cost means carefully selecting resources and scaling them such that we have just enough to satisfy the performance requirements of our applications. But selecting and managing these resources is a huge burden for users. Serverless analytics applications desire an ephemeral storage system that can automatically manage and assign resources to jobs while charging users only for the fine-grained capacity and bandwidth that they use. And to give you a taste of how difficult navigating these performance cost trade-offs in configurations can be, we look here at an example of a serverless video analytics job. We're looking at execution time versus cost when this job uses different ephemeral data store configurations. For example, we're varying the storage technology that we use, DRAM, flash, and disk in this example. We also vary the number of nodes in the ephemeral storage cluster and the number of CPU cores per node. Now, ideally, we would like our storage system to be able to find this point here, which is the minimum cost resource allocation that still gives us maximal performance for our job. Beyond this point, adding resources only increases cost without improving performance. But finding this point is difficult even for a single job, and it only gets more difficult when we have multiple jobs that are sharing a storage system. So we've talked about the performance and cost requirements for this data store, but there's also one property that we don't need, which is different from traditional storage systems. The ephemeral data objects in these applications that we're studying typically live for less than 20 seconds. And furthermore, application frameworks have fault tolerance baked in, typically. So one example of an analytics framework is lineage tracking in Spark for resilient distributed data sets. These frameworks for analytics typically have ways of tracking and regenerating data when it gets lost. So fault tolerance is not a high requirement of the storage system itself. And we find that existing cloud storage solutions, such as object stores and key value stores, either introduce significant performance overhead, or they're not designed to automatically scale resources in a fine-grained manner to meet performance and cost demands of serverless analytics applications. So for example, S3 is a disk-based storage system that's optimized for large access to large objects. And Redis is an in-memory key value store that provides high performance, but it comes at high cost, and it requires users to manually configure and manage their resources. So this motivates us to introduce a new system that we call Pocket. Pocket is an elastic distributed data store. You can think of it as a distributed slash temp. And we designed Pocket specifically for efficient data sharing in serverless analytics applications. So Pocket achieves high performance and cost efficiency by leveraging multiple storage tier technologies, by right-sizing resource allocations for individual applications, and by also automatically scaling resources at the cluster level based on usage. And we're going to see that Pocket achieves similar performance to the Redis in-memory key value store while saving close to 60% in cost for various storage or serverless analytics applications. But first, let's look at how we design Pocket. So we design Pocket by splitting responsibilities across three different planes. First, a data plane, which consists of multiple storage servers. And here we're showing the resource utilization on these servers as a snapshot in time. And we're leveraging multiple storage technology tiers. As an example here, we have disk, flash, and DRAM tiers. So the data plane is in charge of storing actual data blocks in Pocket. Next, we have a metadata plane, which consists of one or more metadata servers. And their role is to map objects to fixed size data blocks that are spread across nodes in the storage or data plane. And finally, we have a control plane that consists of a logically centralized controller. And the controller is in charge of assigning resources to jobs, as well as automatically scaling resources in the cluster based on resource utilization. And we optimize the storage or the software stack on these storage servers for fast and simple I/O operations. The fact that we have split responsibility across these three planes allows us to independently scale each of these planes depending on whatever the bottleneck in the system is. Now, to use Pocket, a job will start by registering with the controller. And the controller is going to allocate and assign resources for this job. And we'll go into this process in a bit more detail in a few slides. But after assigning resources for the job, the controller needs to communicate this information to metadata servers, since they are the ones that will actually enforce a data placement policy for a job. And they do so by routing write operations for a job to the appropriate storage nodes. So this completes the job registration process, and the job now launches its serverless tasks, which issue I/O operations to Pocket. So let's look at an example for a put request. We start by doing a metadata lookup, which routes us to the appropriate storage server where we should be writing this data. And the API that Pocket exposes is a get-put API similar to typical object storage systems, although it does have some additional functionality that's tailored to the ephemeral storage use case. So for example, we find that most ephemeral data is written and read only once. For example, a mapper writes an object that is destined to a particular reducer. And when that reducer reads that object, it's no longer needed in the system. So Pocket accepts hints about data lifetime, which allow the system to optimize garbage collection. Now, by default, a job's data is deleted when the job deregisters with the controller. The other hints that Pocket supports have to do with job registration and attributes of jobs. So these are optional hints as well, and they allow the controller to make more cost-effective resource allocations. So let's talk about the process of assigning resources to jobs in more detail. When a job registers, the controller needs to make a resource allocation decision across three different dimensions. We need to know how much throughput to provide, how much capacity, and what type of storage media to use. Now, if we have no information about the job, Pocket's controller is going to make a conservative resource allocation that overprovisions for throughput and capacity and prioritizes using a DRAM tier, only spilling to higher latency tiers if necessary for capacity. But if a user or an application framework that launches these jobs provides hints to the controller, we can make less conservative resource allocations and hence reduce the cost of the allocation. So for example, if the controller learns that the application is not sensitive to latency, then it knows it can use the NVMe flash storage tier to achieve very similar performance for this job compared to the DRAM tier, since this is a throughput intensive application. If we know the maximum number of concurrent tasks in a job, combining this information with the per task network limit, we can compute a less conservative estimate of the aggregate throughput this job will need. And Pocket also supports hints specifying directly the total capacity and aggregate throughput demands of a job. This information might be available if this job has been run before, for example. So after having this resource allocation for a job, the next step is for the controller to actually assign these resources on nodes in the cluster. And for this, the controller uses an online bin packing algorithm that's going to first try to meet this resource allocation on existing nodes in the cluster and only add nodes or scale resources on nodes if necessary to meet the allocation. The controller is going to represent this information, this resource assignment, in what we call a job weight map. And this weight map gets communicated to metadata servers. So the controller passes this information on because the metadata servers are actually going to enforce the assignment. So a job weight map maps a server ID to a value from 0 to 1 representing the fraction of that job's data that's going to end up on this server. And the metadata servers are going to use these weights in the job weight map to do a weighted random selection of storage servers when routing write operations for this job. Each job has its own weight map. Now, in addition to right-sizing resource allocations for jobs upfront when they register, the controller is also automatically scaling resources in the cluster based on utilization. So the controller is monitoring the CPU, network bandwidth, and storage capacity usage on metadata and storage nodes. And it's adding and removing nodes, as well as vertically scaling resources and choosing the right storage tiers to keep utilization within a target range. Now, in order to balance load in a cluster of changing size, Pocket leverages the fact that we're storing ephemeral data. So it has short lifetime, and redistributing or migrating this kind of data would have very high overhead. So instead, Pocket focuses on steering data for new and incoming jobs to active nodes in the cluster and away from nodes that are being drained and that the controller is preparing to take down. We implement Pocket by leveraging several open source projects. So our implementation of Pocket storage and metadata servers is based on the Apache Crail distributed storage system. And we use Reflex software to access flash storage over commodity cloud networks with high performance. We run Pocket storage and metadata servers inside of containers, and we use Kubernetes to orchestrate these containers and implement auto-scaling. Now, Pocket is a storage system that we envision cloud providers providing. But in order to evaluate Pocket, we deploy the system on Amazon EC2 nodes, and we use AWS Lambda as our serverless analytics platform. The applications that we study are the MapReduce sort, the video analytics job, and a distributed compilation job, which you can find more details of in the paper. Let's start by looking at an example of application performance with Pocket. So here we're looking at a MapReduce sort job, and we're comparing the performance of Pocket compared to two popular existing systems, S3, an object store that provides pay-what-you-use storage, and Redis, which is an in-memory key-value store, provides high performance but requires users to manually manage that cluster. We're using ElastiCache Redis here, where Amazon provides the Redis cluster, but users still need to actually decide on their resource configurations. So here we look at the breakdown for Lambda execution time, and we're most interested in comparing the blue bars here, which is the time spent on ephemeral data I/O. And we notice that with S3, we're not getting sufficient throughput for the system because Lambdas take longer to complete the data shuffling. We actually find that if we run this MapReduce sort job with 500 or more lambdas, we get request rate limit errors from S3. So at that level, we are actually not even getting enough IOPS from the system. The other takeaway from this graph is that Pocket and Redis are providing similar performance. But since this application is throughput intensive rather than latency sensitive, Pocket is actually using the NVMe flash storage tier and able to achieve very similar performance while saving cost compared to DRAM. So let's look at cost in a bit more detail. Pocket provides a pay-what-you-use cost model because it amortizes the cost of resources across multiple jobs that are sharing the system. And we derive a cost model for Pocket by deriving fine-grained resource costs based on EC2 instance pricing. For example, the cost of NVMe flash or DRAM per gigabyte. So here we compare the cost of running the sort, video analytics, and the distributed compilation jobs with Redis versus Pocket. And in both cases, we have right-sized the Redis and Pocket clusters to meet the capacity and throughput demands of each application. And we find that Pocket saves close to 60% in cost. Now, part of these this cost savings come from the fact that Pocket is leveraging flash instead of DRAM because it knows that these applications are not sensitive to latency. They're highly parallel and throughput intensive. But the other part of cost savings comes from the fact that Pocket is offering fine-grained resource charging. So contrary to Pocket, for Redis, users need to spin up VMs for their cluster, and they need to pay for the entire cost of a VM, even if they're not using the entire resources on it. Next, we look at how the controller in Pocket auto-scales the cluster based on usage. So we're plotting over time here in the orange line the throughput consumed by applications, and the dotted line shows the throughput provisioned by the controller, assuming that each node in our cluster is providing around 1 gigabyte per second of bandwidth. Now, occasionally, we see bursts of network performance, which is why at one point here, the applications are observing higher performance than what the controller believes it has provisioned. So as job one enters the system, the controller recognizes it needs to scale up the resources in the cluster to meet its throughput requirements. And as this job leaves the system and the controller notices that resource utilization has dropped, it scales down the cluster to the minimum number of Pocket storage nodes, which in this experiment is 2. And so having this non-zero minimum number of storage nodes helps us be ready for a job that might come in at any time. And the takeaway here is that as jobs enter and leave the system with multiple concurrently running, the Pocket controller is scaling resources to match the load. So to conclude, Pocket is a distributed data store that offers high performance and cost efficiency by leveraging different storage technology, by right-sizing resource allocations for jobs, and by automatically scaling cluster resources based on utilization. We designed Pocket specifically for ephemeral data sharing and serverless analytics, but more generally, it's a distributed slash temp. It's available on GitHub, and I'm happy to take questions. Thank you.
I'm Rich Drace from Microsoft. So this is very interesting to me. I'm trying to reconcile your talk with my experiences with a large-scale data analytics system at Microsoft. So one thing that comes to mind is, I guess, is the durability of this temp data. Generally speaking, it seems this kind of data, you know, it's if you lose it, you can sort of reconstruct it. But I think it's maybe useful to have like some level of a greater durability for a fraction of this data that's, for example, expensive to reconstruct. Have you considered that in your design?
So far in our design, we assume that it's the role of the application framework to regenerate or either re-execute tasks or re-execute a job if necessary. Yeah, we haven't yet explored adding replication or other ideas, but I think there's an interplay here between the application framework and the storage, and usually the application is the one that knows which data is most important.
Yeah. And then I was also curious about the read-write ratio for this data. You seem to imply that you expect like a read-write ratio of close to 1, which has not been my experience with this data at all. So Have you measured that?
So for the cases where the data is only written and destined to a particular reducer, we have the read-write ratio of 1. There's sometimes data that is read by many and written only once. I'm curious. Yeah, did you have other experiences with the workloads?
Yeah, or I'll compare notes with you afterwards.
Okay.
I have a lot of questions, but maybe just one. When you study the fact that the data is write and read only one time, do you also study how long when it will be read after it is written?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so typically we found that most data is read within 20 seconds of it being written. Yeah, so very, very short lifetimes in the applications we studied.
Right. And maybe a second quick question. Have you tried evaluating Pocket without applications giving hints about whether they want latency or throughput?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so if applications don't give hints, then the controller is going to make conservative resource allocations, which results in higher cost. But the goal is to prioritize performance.
Right. We'll take one more.
Hadi Hashimi, UIUC. What's the overhead of reserving more resources when there's not enough in your controller?
What is the overhead of reserving extra resources?
If you run out the resources, your controller requests new resources from the cloud provider. What's the overhead of it?
And sure.
How often did you see it in your evaluation?
Mm-hmm. So we're running Pocket on VMs and then running containers on top. And so the overhead for launching resources is going to depend on whether this requires just launching a new container or launching a new VM. We actually have a breakdown of the execution time for launching different types of VMs. That's the dark blue here, and the container pulling image and container startup.
Thank you.
Yeah. All right. Thank you, Anna.